Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. The Good Morning Football podcast, one down. Three of us are here, though. Nate Burleson wearing glasses, sunglasses again inside. I'm appreciating the consistency of nothing else.
Of course, man. You got to show out. The weather is sunny. I want to wear my glasses all day long.
And putting my sunglasses
okay.
on.
Okay. She got the big old, you got the big old glasses looking like a movie star.
Mm-hmm. These are Kyle's favorite.
Yeah, I do. You got a bigger size. You used to have the smaller size. You upgraded.
I broke the other ones. I was drunk and broke them. And these are the ones. These are the backups.
Oh, okay.
You guys are fan of people
That's
who
Kyle
are fans
Brandt.
Of you. Yes,
Hi.
I'm Kyle Brandt. I'm a fan of people who are fans of me.
Exactly.
You don't have sunglasses, but you do have some sweet shoes.
Yeah, this was an amazing moment on the show, completely organic. We're talking about who would we want our like GMFB Jam teams to be, NBA Jam equivalent of football. We were doing running quarterbacks. Kay did Dante Culpepper, Randy Moss. I did Randall Cunningham, Mike Quick, and Nate went to Michael Vick. Mm-hmm. And you brought on the shoes, the Vicks, the Nike signature Vicks to set down on the table.
Show and tell.
And it's just, oh, it's a cool prop that Nate's got. And Nate and I have talked about this before. I go, Nate, I'm the same size as you. Ha, ha, ha. Just joking. And he's like, you can have them. They're yours. And I was legitimately shocked on live TV. And I know how generous you are. And I'm like, no, Nate, ha, ha. It's not funny. You're like, no, you can have them. Yeah. I still think you're kidding.
No, I have a pair of the white and baby blues, exact same pair. I used to be a crazy sneakerhead. I wouldn't wear them. I keep them tucked away.
What does that mean, crazy? Like how many? Like your
like
own closet?
500 pair of shoes. Yeah, like I outfitted a wine cellar in my room,
Burleson.
In my house, and I had California Causes come in and put little slots for shoes. That's how big it was. And I was into it. Like, I wanted to keep my shoes clean. People couldn't borrow them. It was one of those things. But now I've learned to love shoes just as much, but they're just shoes. So I give them away, and I wear them. You know, I'm older now, so I still have the same, I guess, like, fascination and fetish with sneakers. I just don't care about letting them kind of control me.
Control.
Nate, greatest shoes ever. Ooh. Greatest shoes ever. What is the GOAT? The GOAT.
The GOAT for shoes for me is the
LA
Jordan, Jordan patent leather 11s.
The best. I know the ones exactly
those
you're talking about.
So amazing. The ones he's giving me.
So good. Oh, right.
I'm going to shrink them in the washing machine.
I got home from work, Kay, on my birthday, and there were 5 pairs of shoes from Nate Burleson.
It's a crazy thing to have
3
happen.
Jordans, all these things. And he gave them to producer Rich Schroeder, who lives by me, who dropped them off. It was Christmas. I was diving into the Uncle Scrooge money bank, and today I put some more money. I got the Vicks now.
You got
now,
the Vicks.
They're perfect condition. Do you plan on wearing those in this dirty city?
I can't. Maybe up in clean Westchester. Maybe a little bit. But, Kay, here's the funny thing you asked. Because Nate got me these Jordans that are not just like the Jordans you would buy at
They're
Foot
like
Locker.
The sickest shoes ever.
You've seen
walking.
Them. They're I wore them on TV. Yeah. They're like gold and navy in these Vicks.
So you're stomping
Where am
around
I wearing
57th
those?
Street with
yeah,
those?
Right. I'm going to my gym.
I want to strap a GoPro on you and see what happens.
Isn't that cool? I wore them on the show today. With khaki pants. It's the first time those shoes have ever been worn with khakis.
I think that's why Nate gives them to you, because he thinks it's
it
funny.
It is funny.
I think I said to you on the show, those are the whitest I've ever seen those shoes.
Yes.
Because you
have
the khakis laced over the top.
It'd be like it if I good. Gave Nate some stuff from like Old Navy or, you know, and like
he
asked
laced
him to
them
wear
up all
it. Right.
Tight.
I did. I don't want to crease them up though, Nate. I know that's
They
the
look
term.
Good on you, man.
Thank you. They do.
Father's Day, guys. Speaking of gifts, how did it all go?
Father's Day went good. I'll say this. The wife, she came in. She surprised me with...
You went on like a cruise.
Yeah. She came in with a suitcase, a wallet. She got me a pair of shoes, a pair of loafers, shirt, little trinkets. Kids brought me cards. And then she surprised me, and we went on a cruise. Kind of floated around the Hudson, saw Brooklyn. We saw the Empire State Building, saw Statue of Liberty. Ate, danced a little bit,
you
had a
danced.
Like a dance with the wife, dance with the daughter, like father-daughter dance. So it was fun. We had a good time. But I must say,
but
I feel like could have done a little bit more. And listen,
you just said she got you $20,000 in gifts and a cruise.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Because my birthday, I don't make a big deal about my birthday.
Okay.
I just like being around people I love. You know, I'm real chill, real laid back. I love to celebrate other people's birthday. Christmas, it's all about the kids. And it's all about my extended family.
Of course.
You're nailing it.
I give away. Father's Day is the one day I think being a father, I put more work in being a father than I do anything in life.
That's true.
Like my job, even as a football player. And now it's not difficult because I love my family, but waking up at 4 a.m., and then hustling home by noon.
What are you
so
trying
I can,
to say?
No. So I can pick up my daughter at school at 2:45.
Because they're both sleeping on the couch for the next 3 weeks.
And then I'll come home and I'll make them snack. And then I'll drive one of my boys to a gym. And then I'm at a baseball game at 7:30. I'm not getting home till 10. And I'm not complaining. I don't care if I don't get any sleep. And I'll show right back up and I'll do it day in and day out.
I'm glad
to support my family, and I'm glad to support my wife.
Okay, I don't know the disclaimers. Now, go on. You were not satisfied with Father's Day?
I would say I was satisfied, but there's a part of me that wanted more. So,
you got some notes. You got some notes.
Yeah. Right. You know, like you have a piece of cake, and you're like, this is good. You're like, this is delicious. I'm satisfied. But I could eat more.
If there's one thing, Kyle, that I've learned in this off season is that I've texted you guys on Father's Day and said Happy Father's Day. You guys are three of the greatest dads in the game, and everything that you sacrifice
Appreciate that, Kay.
And you guys are, I don't know how you guys juggle it all, but what I learned is that you guys care a lot more about Father's Day than you let on to anyone, and it's your own fault.
I learned that about myself. I didn't know that. This is the first year that's happened, and it's like I feel like
first year as a dad of two.
Yeah, I first year as a father of two, and I feel like I was like a dadzilla. You know what I mean? You know, like how bridezillas and grimzillas. Yeah. I was a dadzilla. Here's the thing. Nate nailed it. I hate my birthday. Don't do anything for me. I genuinely am a birthday Scrooge. It's fine. Christmas is for everybody. If it's the kids. For some reason this year, I'm like, God, it's been a hard year. We moved from California to New York. I want diamonds. I want wine. I want roses. Give me everything. And here's the
thing. Nobody talks like that except you guys all secretly talk like that.
All of a sudden, Kay, I'm like, I want to be pampered. I want this one weekend. And here's the problem. I used the term weekend. That was my mistake this weekend. We got into Friday night, and I'm like, okay, so let's start the weekend planning.
Who are you?
And
it's
we
like
get into Saturday
girls
afternoon.
Girls turn 21 and have birthday weeks.
It was. It was like, when are we getting in our mani-pedis, and when are the cucumbers over my eyelids? And then on Saturday afternoon, I'm like, hello, let's get the Father's Day stuff started. And we're like grocery shopping and like watching nothing.
Now, Sunday morning,
we released Doves and all that, but I was like, hello, it's Sunday morning already. I thought we were doing Father's Day weekend. We didn't really do it that way. It was only a Father's Day thing. So candidly, I was expecting a little bit more of an extravaganza, but I can say that because Brooke doesn't listen to the podcast.
But, yeah, I think, well,
yeah, neither does the toy.
Okay,
so
they'll be sleeping on the couch if anybody tweets about this or whatever, but isn't it, don't you guys think it's your own fault? Because I honestly thought you were joking all of last week when you said, give me the diamonds, give me the whatever.
And I wanted them.
That you guys even were talking or remembered that it was Father's Day. Like, I remember growing up and all the dads around me, like, Father's Day was you know, here's your craftsman tools, Tim
totally.
The Tool Man.
Here's a tie.
And here's your gun. That's all. And I thought my dad was so happy to get that because, like, he doesn't care about Father's Day. I probably cared about it more than he did. But you guys also put on this sort. It's like, is it father code?
I think
there should be a dad
act
code.
Like that?
I think there's an unwritten rule that fathers are supposed to act too cool for school when it comes to Father's Day. My dad did the same thing.
I don't think anybody knows that you guys
but
want
I believe,
to celebrate the day. I really
bet there's
so.
People listening who all wanted right. it. Kay, I have a feeling, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him. I think Nate and I are cut from a little different cloth than your father. I don't think your father was wearing the indoor Ray-Bans during a podcast.
He does not have Michael Vick's.
Now here's the thing, though.
No.
Now here's the thing.
I think he's a better man than
my dad went to Longhorn Steakhouse for the first time ever in his life for Father's Day and said it
Longhorn?
Was one of the best steaks he's ever had.
Nice.
That's my dad.
I feel like there's the older generation of fathers are different. So my dad, he busted his ass every day, worked overtime. He took us to the gym. He was at every game. But he wasn't the guy every day to come home and run around outside with me. Now, if we were playing hoops, he'd hoop with us.
But you still wrote him a bomb-ass poem.
Yeah, and that's my pops, like 100%. But my dad was exhausted when he got home, so we left him alone. And I grew up in a house of four boys, so we played with each other. I think there's a new generation of fathers, and I talked about this with my friend, where we bust our ass just as much. We work the crazy hours, but we also are the super active dads in the house.
Why is that? Why is it different?
I think it's a little bit different, like, because, like, I'll cook if I need to. I'll clean the house if I need to. My wife's going out of town. I hold down the fort. I want to be there with my kids. I want to play outside with my daughter. And it's exhausting, because I'm waking up at 4 a.m. every day. But so I think for that reason, I call us the diva dads. And I'm okay with it. I'm a diva dad.
What are our sons going to be? It's going to be a couple, like, just words I don't want to use on the air. Like,
they're going to be super soft. I think they're
going to. Father's Day. It's sweetest day. I want a big weekend for myself. That's going to be my son, Calvin.
It's going to be Father's Weekend by the time our son.
Father's Month.
So you guys have the day like circled on the calendar and you're excited to celebrate it.
It's funny thing, Kay, because the timing
because Mother's
of it,
Day is, you know, Mother's Day. The moms know what's coming. You guys pamper them. And if you don't, well, there's repercussions, right?
But isn't it interesting? There are repercussions and we always nail it. But it's like a month later, so you're always on alert. Like, we just did Mother's Day. Okay, now that's taken care of.
Right.
Now time for the main event.
Now, are you hyping up Mother's Day and making it the best one because you know you are next? It's almost like you give a really good birthday present because you know your birthday's around the corner. You better be getting some good.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in relationships where you give something good expecting reciprocation. You know what I mean? Sometimes you do that as a move, a preemptive strike.
You guys are like the two that get to the Showcase Showdown and the Price is Right and are pissed about the prizes.
Yeah, that's what are we doing here? Where's the China set,
you
man?
Know,
come on, Barker.
With all this said,
I know
our wives
really
hold down the fort, and she did a great job, and I'm pretty sure Brooke did a great job. We just, you know.
I don't think wives know I'm not speaking for a toy or Brooke, but. But maybe I don't think that in general
Father's Day is a huge deal to us.
Yeah, I don't think you guys don't let it be known.
Do you think people are listening to the podcast right now? Okay, guys, 20s, 30s, 40s, and being like, Nate and Kyle are bitches, or like,
let's ask them.
I get it. I agree with them.
Let's
They're
pull
right.
The
That's
room.
Damn
Terrence,
right.
I listen.
Isn't a dad, so Terrence is pretty
Terrence,
much sitting
whatever.
From my
okay.
perspective as a guy. What do you think? Come sit over here.
I'm on Instagram Live right now, and everybody's listening. Shout out to
oh, they are. What do they got?
Way to tell us.
Everybody. A couple of people are saying, hey, Nate, I get it. The modern day dad, they do more because they do just as much at work as they do at home. And for that reason, like, they want Father's Day to be a huge deal, a huge celebration, which kind of makes sense.
But you don't really let it be known that you want it to be a huge celebration. You're like, I'm fine with this.
Because it's the old school code. Like, don't walk around talking about Father's
Day. I didn't know we were live. There's Brant Mom 505 is on there right now. She's listening. Brooke, hang up.
LeBrant. Terrence, you are our social media guru, voice of the young people.
You and Kyle are the coolest, man. Dad's up. Lamar Gordon.
I would argue that this has been true in every generation. We're just the first one that has the, like, moxie to say it. Because, like, no dad is ever happy getting a tie, right? Like, even in the 50s, you just didn't talk about it because it was, like, not cool
but
to talk
like,
about
your
feelings.
You get the tie, I love you, thanks, you put it in the drawer, and you move on with your day, your Sunday, your chores, your whatever.
Right, but, like, the older generations had to bury their feelings because they weren't allowed to talk about them.
This
we're,
one
we're
wants a weekend.
I do. So you're saying somebody making rivets for the Allied forces back in the 40s truly did want a, you know, a homemade pie and a massage and all those things. They just didn't want to let it on.
Absolutely.
Chris,
all right,
podcast producer, you have kids. What's
Kirk?
Your take? Chris,
I'm not getting put in the doghouse on this one, so
okay.
I just kind of keep my mouth shut.
Well, what did you do? How was your Father's Day?
It was good. It was also my daughter's birthday, so we had to split the time.
Okay.
So you didn't get diddly.
So you came in here and you said it was my daughter's birthday and Father's Day, and Kyle's immediate reaction was, oh, day wasn't about you at all.
No, you're screwed, man.
I can't believe that's your reaction.
So, like, there should be a half Father's Day you do,
there,
like in the
there
fall.
There was a Home Depot trip. There was a Home Depot trip on Father's Day, and the cashier told me, I hope you're not doing this on your day.
Yeah.
Like she made it seem like it was my day as well. So it was, to me.
Why were you at Home Depot?
Yard work, you know? It's
you did yard
nice.
Work on Father's Day?
Your kid
I'm
was
sure
doing yard
dad
work
dad
for
did
you.
Too.
Yeah.
I can't even talk about my dad.
I know, I remember.
Yeah.
Emotional?
Yeah, birthday party's coming up. I got to make the yard look nice and presentable, you know?
You're making me feel awful about every gift I've ever given him.
I
bought my dad a lawnmower.
Hold on.
But I feel, you know, I feel Nate and Kyle, I like where their head's at. I want the whole weekend too, but I'll pull that off on my birthday, not for Father's Day.
Okay.
Right? I'll pull it off for my birthday. I want the birthday week. But I can't do a Father's Day weekend. Listen, we're out smoking cigars every Sunday during the NFL season. That's good for me. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's nice.
There's different angles.
She lets me get away with a lot during the
what?
Year.
Like, for example, for Father's Day, would you? Where it gets really out of control is like, I just want to sleep. Maybe for Father's Day I have like a night out with my friends.
Right.
That's when it starts to get a lot of control.
That's when it gets.
Then
little,
it's like a bachelor party.
What does
party.
That mean? You want for Father's Day to be away from your family?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm
that's
the guy
what,
who sent my wife to a hotel for the night of Mother's Day.
Yes.
Right. So sometimes
but
when you have toddlers,
you
do.
That's what she wanted.
Explicitly. Sometimes when you have toddlers, like Nate, your kids aren't screaming and crying and throwing food.
It's
at,
true.
Sometimes you just want quiet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So,
that's what you want.
Kyle, how did you know that Brooke wanted some quiet?
Because I ask her all the time, what do you want to do this weekend? And she honestly says, I just would really like to sleep.
So she didn't ask you what you want for Father's Day at all?
Nah.
Isn't that interesting?
Nah, she didn't. It was
it's very interesting.
To your point,
did
why
toy
is
ask
it so
you
under
you
the radar?
No, she didn't ask me.
Because I think that's just
but
what
I know toy
we think
wants.
You guys
like,
don't
we
care.
We went and did a little shopping spree. I got her some Giuseppe's, and then I got her like three different cards. I got her some flowers. We went to brunch in New York.
This is Mother's Day?
This is Mother's Day. And then I also got her three different types of gift cards. One at Sojo House where she can go get a massage. Starbucks because she loves Starbucks. So mine was a collection of gifts.
Yeah, you got her those like, Giuseppe's. Okay.
That, you know.
That'd be enough.
Giuseppe's were great, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, all right, I'm going to get something other than luggage. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. If you're listening... She's baby, I love you. That. No, she did a great job. She did a great job. We're divas, and I don't want any
did
other
you
day.
Did you ask her what fathers, you wanted?
I got to be honest with you. Like, when I was 22, 23, when I was a new father, I was still playing football. I was dividing my time and energy between giving myself to my family, giving myself to the sport, and giving myself to the world, trying to be this ultimate entertainer, wearing so many hats. And it was tough for me to have high energy after getting beat up on the field and come home and still – be the guy that was wrestling with the kids and at every game, you know, cheering on my feet. I was there, but there was times where I was just trying to manage my pain and get to my pillow. Now that I'm not playing anymore and I'm removed from the game and all I have is work and family, I give so much energy. And, like, I just want that to be, you know, recognized on this day. I don't care about any other day because my effort goes into being a father and provider. And I'll do that. I'll work myself to death to make them happy.
You know what I like, and about recognize, one of the things I liked about Father's Day weekend this year is when you're out and about, you see other dads, and I got a couple times people saying to me like, hey, happy Father's Day, man, because I was with my kids.
I said
like,
that to pretty much everybody I saw.
It's cool. But there was one thing, like on Saturday, I was dragging the kids around, and we were at the grocery store, and one guy looked at me like almost like, dude, what are you doing? You know it's Father's Day weekend? Like, he was like,
he gave you that look.
You know what day it is tomorrow, right? And I was like,
are you serious?
Yeah. There was a little bit because at the time I was like berating Calvin about you listen when I talk to you. You know, like he's not listening right now. And this dad was like, look at this on Father's Day weekend. He's got a parent. Like, where is the wife? This is your weekend, dude. And like, I just could tell he disrespected me.
But it's your weekend to be with the kids. Go, like, you, I would love to see. I would love to see you next Father's Day go out and go out in the town in your Mike Vicks.
Oh, I know. That'll
hold
be tomorrow.
Wait. My little nephew Calvin's not listening to you, man. What's going on?
Minitron? No, he's got his own plans.
Is he in a no phase?
He's a man about town. He needs to see everything and be everywhere.
Is he in a no phase?
He's in a no phase, and he repeats what
and
we say.
And how old is he now?
He's 3.5. So, you know, we try not to do it too much, but he's repeating things. So the other day he goes to me, he goes, Dada, I want some juice. And I go, you already had some juice, not now. And he goes, Dada, when I tell you to do something, you do it.
He said that to me,
which is verbatim what I say to him.
But he's the cutest. Oh, he can do whatever he wants.
He's mimicking me because I say, Calvin, when I tell you to do something, you do it. Dad, when I tell you something, you do it.
You kind of have to laugh.
I walked out of the room laughing. I had to run out of the room because I don't want to see me laugh. I laughed so hard. I'm like, Brooke, you would not believe what he just said. And then she laughed too. So funny. And then he walks in. He's got his hands on his hips. This is what I'm doing this weekend when I'm supposed to be in the terry cloth robe getting that deep tish massage.
You're
right?
Not, what? If, I've never believed
no,
more
I'm messing with you.
You give the kind of gifts that you want.
I didn't get a night in a hotel, Kay. I want next weekend. Father's Day weekend. One day is not
enough.
Next
year, that's what we're
doing. I need one weekend out of 52. I don't think that's too much to ask.
I just think you're both sleeping on the couch for a long time.
As long as it's quiet, I'm fine with that. A little fan.
Do you remember when your kids were that young?
Yeah.
Like it was yesterday? I'm like looking at Nate's face and it's just
so funny.
I laughed my ass off when he said that.
Because you want to be serious because a part of you is like, hold on, wait, don't disrespect me, little guy. I run the show. But a larger part of you just cracks up anytime they say anything hilarious. And they go through this phase. It's like some say terrible twos, but there's just an age range where they are defiant and they do not want to follow directions. And you can't really get mad, but it kind of pisses you off as a dad because you have
so
no control on this little mini version of yourself.
No, they mimic you. And Brooke's trying to get me now with my profanity because Calvin's, he mimics your profanity.
Oh.
He says some funny ones, really funny.
What does he say?
Well, like, okay, so the other day I'm looking at my phone like a bad
Kirk's
dad.
Kirk's like, here we go.
And
I swear.
No, I'll be good, Kirk. And I see Calvin out of the corner of my eye and he's carrying like 5 trucks at once in his arms. And he drops 2 of them, and he just goes, Jesus. And I looked up, and again, I laughed so hard because that's what I say when I drop something. Brooke is on me, though, about – she's like, I'm not going to tell you to stop using profanity, but maybe you might be a little more judicious in when you use it. For example, when you can't find the remote, you don't necessarily need to say in front of the kids, I can't find the effing remote. Like, save it for when you really need to use it. I use it, liberally anytime I'm not on
just
the air.
So casual.
It's right. Like Brooks and Mama 3.
It
sometimes.
Is. If you stub your toe on the table, you can use the F word.
You can
not
use
if
it.
You can't. Right.
Right.
We don't have any effing blueberries left. Yeah. Like, I use it for anything. It's just like, that's not, that doesn't call for the F bomb, especially since Calvin's repeated.
The effing blueberries.
Right. That was me yesterday.
I love this conversation because there's not much to talk about from a football perspective.
Sure, right.
Schrager's taking the week off, so he's not here. We miss him dearly. And we have a couple guests this week. Darius Butler is funny because he has a little sense of humor that I think we sort of uncovered a little bit. I love when people come on our show and we get that different side.
Me too.
At some point during that interview, I think it might have been the commercial break, it sort of just flipped over, right? And it was, now we're going to, we've been friends for 5 years.
That's true. With the luxury we've had in the offseason is sometimes we'll have a guest in the studio, we do two segments. Yeah. So they get to relax a little bit. So, the players come in. They're like, what are they going to ask? I don't want to say anything wrong. I don't want to offend anybody.
Like my interview with
exactly, which Brandon was awesome, G. too. But for Darius Butler, we did the first segment, talked Colts, talked football, whatever. And then they're like, all right, now I'm settled in. And we did a game with him about famous Butlers.
Right. He was spilling water.
Awesome.
He did a lap.
He felt like a real host, like who's here every day. Yeah. They absolutely crushed it. Second segment calms him down.
What's great is having him on the show, via satellite or on the team cam. And then they finally come in. It's kind of like a cousin. Like, oh, you finally get to see where we live. And they get to sit at the breakfast table. But you're right, though. By the time he got to that second segment, he was relaxed. His body language was different. He's cracking a few jokes. Anytime a guest cracks a joke on one of us, especially an inside one that only we know, that's when you know they're comfortable.
Brandon McGee was pretty funny, too. We ran him through the gauntlet, which we hardly had together.
That was intense. Kay, I'm not going to lie.
What?
You were intense, and you were not wavering from your character.
Here's the thing.
Bought all the way in.
Because
for those who didn't watch
McGee,
the show.
Brandon McGee is a former NFL player. Yeah. He played for the Browns, the Buccaneers,
linebacker.
Yeah. He was with the Cowboys for a minute. And he went through the broadcast boot camp, so we brought him in and did our own. And Kay was the star of it, I thought.
Well, he was really what? He was going to interview
really
me,
funny.
But how would we make that interesting to our viewers?
Right.
You did a real simulation. Kay, if you sat down and just started talking about yourself like yourself,
it'd have been easy.
It would have been me answering questions. Like, he has the questions written in prompter, but instead I was like every I'd say 50% of athletes.
You're like, sure.
Not the come on our show.
That
but when you
on,
go
sure.
when you go somewhere and
right.
to interview an athlete
into a
or
locker
you're
room or,
yeah,
especially
oh,
if they got
on
an
the
attitude
field, on the field
if things
after
aren't
the
going their way.
That's the worst.
Yeah, they're very short.
So he did an interview.
Because you have to find a way to ask them a question to lighten them up, and he did.
My favorite part was when he said, "So what made you want to go into this realm into
media?"
And you said, "Into media."
Yeah, that was good.
Damn, Kay.
Kay got her phone out, was looking at her phone in the middle of the interview.
She was like, "Into media." Almost like, that was a stupid ass question.
That's so good.
It was good. And he kept with it. He asked you about the hat.
He did.
And that's when I think he kind of.
I turned
broke
it because I was like, what am I supposed to do? Just act like Marshawn Lynch this whole time? That was my motivation.
That was fun.
Yeah,
he did
Kay
a good job.
Up there just, I'm just trying to get better every day. It's one game at a time. That's stuff that drives you crazy. Yeah. And the challenge for him was get something out of her. It was a perfect simulation.
Yeah.
So I feel like all the NFL athletes, current, former, that want to get into broadcasting, could there be a better gauntlet to go through than
no,
what we just
not
did
at
today?
All. Not at all. Because what's going to happen is you'll go to different networks and they'll put you through the car wash. And that's just basically going on every single show that they have and answering the same routine questions. And you're on the other side. You're always on the other side. You're always getting interviewed. But they come on our show and we give them a little bit of power. And we see
how they do it.
Yeah, if they can read the prompter, stand up and tell a story, read some highlights. Those are all things that they casually enjoy as players, and they're all things that they're going to have to learn if they want to get in the media. So, we're going to tighten it up on our end, and we're going to make this, as clean
as – We should
do
it. It should be a thing.
As clean as possible, so when players come on – this I wanted to pose this to you guys before we walked out of our production meeting, post-production meeting. Should we for guests that are considering going into – the world of TV, should we give them an option when we're doing our pre-interview with our producers saying, hey, listen, you're going to sit down with the group and you have an option of doing the paddle game or turnover game or the broadcast gauntlet.
Yeah, pick your dealer's choice.
And some people are like, I'll do the broadcast gauntlet. Oh, you know what? I'll do turnover game.
And you're seeing the benefit of that is that they'll buy into it more because it's they're part of it?
I just think that they have a choice. They have a choice in it. So if somebody says, I want to do the broadcast gauntlet, it's like, whoa. We can tell people at home as they're watching the show, you know what? We wanted to play a game, but he wanted to do the broadcast gauntlet. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be good moving forward.
And people will pick what they'll excel in.
Yeah, and listen, I
Captain
think
Captain Munnerly never would have picked the Captain game.
No, that's why we did a sequel. The Butler game was a sequel. The Captain Munnerly game was
Butler
not
Butler game
good.
Was great.
Yeah, but
Butler
the Butler game
to
was
set
awesome.
Today saying, I'm about to call Captain.
Is he?
And yeah. let him know what and the real won. Actual deal yeah. is.
But the fun. Hardest by far would be the boot camp. Because, I mean, yeah. all those things are hard, especially yeah. if you haven't done a lot of TV. The highlights right. go very fast. Right. The highlight portion. Right. You got to stand up and own the room and tell a story. It's live TV, too.
Reading the prompter like goes fast, even yeah, though it's going it slow. You panic. Yeah, like
us. I tell Nate I'm going to make him read prompter, and Nate's like, what yeah, yeah. is wrong Oof. With you?
Yeah. It's hard.
I think the telling the story is hard because it's almost like you're doing stand-up and you have Kyle and I just sitting
no,
there staring
right.
at you.
I know,
right.
and you could bomb or
am
you could
Am I trying
lose
to make you
it?
Laugh or make you cry or what right. way am I going with this on the spot like that?
Yeah.
I mean, and standing next to the guy who does it, his campfire stories yeah, all day, every day that go nuts on viral.
Even just standing in front of that big screen feels awkward sometimes.
It was.
Even, for me, I've
it
done
was
a bunch
like
stand-up,
right? He was up there like.
It was like stand-up.
And you had to do a couple punchlines and you had
he
to
did
laugh
a couple
a little
little
bit.
Jokes.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Anything you guys want to talk about? By the way, tweet us, guys, because we look at our phones all the time, and we'd love to hear
Antonio
from you guys
Brown.
On that.
We'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So yesterday, I went to the NFL offices. I went to talk to Tracy Pearlman. She's one of the ladies who helped runs the NFL Legends Community. That's for former players, and they do so many good things really around the world.
Really?
And she's going to start basically handing off guys to come in, guys that are recently retired, OGs that have been retired. So we're talking about everything, and as we're talking, she's like, Roger Goodell, he has to take a flight. So he wants to talk to you before you know. I'm like, he wants to talk to me. She's like, yeah.
Oh, so you weren't going there to meet him?
No,
oh,
not at
wow.
all. So I go down the floor and I walk in this big corner office, mm-hmm. just looking out at Manhattan. He got a couch and he got the big desk and chair.
This is what I want to hear.
And he's like, yo, what's up, Nate? I'm like, how you doing, man? We sit back and we chill. And he sinks down into his couch. I sit down in a chair and he's like, yeah, you know, you guys are doing a good job. And he kind of does one of these. And we're on TV in his office. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know what? We're catching our stride. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Nate, Roger Goodell said, what's up, Nate?
Yeah, he's like, what's up, Nate? He's like, and then so we started rapping about football and life. And basically he was like, you know, for what it's worth, what we do on the network, specifically on this show, we tell the great side of what this game is. He's like, I get it. There's going to be guys that make mistakes, but there's so many more stories that you guys do a great job of highlighting. And that's a part of the reason why you guys are so successful.
We have fun.
So
football
he
should be fun.
The
volume was on the TV or no?
No, it was down.
I don't want to be muted.
Yeah,
I will not be muted.
Roger.
I'm just kidding. Turn it up, Rog.
Complimented the show heavily.
It's cool.
And he was
came
excited.
To our first ever show.
Yeah, he
was on.
And then,
the
so as we're sitting guest. There, as we're sitting there, Tracy Pearlman's like, okay, Nate, he had to catch a flight. And somebody else walks in like, hey, we got to get to the airstrip or whatever, the hangar.
My next appointment, please.
He's like, because the storm's coming. So I'm like, storm's coming. Like he's, and then somebody's like, oh yeah, he flies private. I'm like, oh yeah, it makes sense. So then
Nate's chilling. No joke, chilling with Goodell. It is pouring rain. I cannot get a cab for the life of me. I'm getting like I am like the other side of the world, being stomped on by people in the pouring rain.
Brutal.
And you're
chilling
on leather chair.
And then Tracy's like, Antonio's 10 minutes away, and Antonio just floats in like Prince just floating through the air.
You saw his aura.
Yeah, he's so cool, and he's like, "What's up?" Either.
Why is he so cool?
It's amazing.
He's so cool.
Something
Goodell
about
like,
his vibe is very unusual. I've met him too.
How you doing, Antonio? He's like, oh, "I'm chilling, man. Just out here doing some things, you know, working out. You know, everything's cool, man."
Does
you
he ever
saying?
Not smile?
He got the big cheesy grin, and he's like, "You working out?" And Antonio's like, "Yeah." You're working out. Got to stay in shape. This is time where you ramp it up. You know what I'm saying? This is time before the season. You really got to kick it into high gear. He's just talking. I'm just listening.
Is that Goodell or Brown?
It's crazy. Like, okay. As Antonio Brown was walking in, I was about to walk out. And I was like, you know what?
I'm going to stay.
I'm going to stay.
I'm going to chill.
And sit back. And then he starts talking. He's like, so what do you got to do? You got any more obligations, you know, coming up? And Antonio's like, just casually like, yeah, I got to do – Visa, Pepsi,
no, man, the
Campbell's soup. And I'm like, that's some big money right there.
Business is booming.
Business is booming. So then he gets Goodell on the Snapchat. He tries to get Goodell to dance, and Goodell's like, nah, bro, I'm good. And then we started talking about celebrations, and then I got him on video asking for people to give him ideas for celebrations. It was a fun, like, really organic moment that happened out of nowhere. And Antonio Brown is – he's like the little big brother because he has such an amazing career and he still has a lot more to do. So, you know, I always give these guys the respect they deserve, even if they're younger than me. And what I love about Antonio is he's always given me respect and probably has complimented me more than I needed to be. Like, he would say stuff like, man, you're one of the guys that paved the way for us, man. I used to watch your highlights before I got in.
He
so,
walks the
like,
line
that
of
stuff,
being superstar and humble very well.
Yeah.
And it's probably because of the way his life has gone, right?
It is. I mean, he nails it. Every interview I see, he gets it. And meeting him that one time was incredible. I gotta ask some questions about Goodell's office.
Yeah, what's up?
Any food or anything? Any wasabi peas? Anything out there?
Yes, he has some little snackies on the desk.
Okay,
what kind of snackies?
I didn't get close to him though. I just saw him from a distance.
They weren't for you?
About 7 or 8 windows. We were in a different section. This is like a suite, so the desk was right by the
wasabi
window.
Wasabi peas was a really good call.
The middle of the room,
Terrence, next week,
a couch with 2 chairs.
Okay,
and then you know. On the backside. Right.
You got any?
What snack would he have?
I also saw all the rings. This is separate, but I also saw all the rings ever made, all the Super Bowl winning rings. And I will say this, the Patriots, they crap on the competition.
It's unbelievable.
It's not even a question. Like, Robert Kraft is like, you
know
what?
We
just won the Super Bowl, but we're going to win the ring game.
Yeah, we won in overtime, down 28-3.
Their rings are gaudy.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. Now, if I was a player, of course, I love it. Exactly. It is the size of Brian Cohen's watch.
3 of my fingers.
Nothing is that big.
3 of my fingers put together is the first ring.
It's crazy. Okay, is it crazy?
It's this size.
Wow.
And this last one?
It's like a shield.
It'll cover 3 of my 3 middle fingers.
That's insane.
Yeah,
it's
insane.
Serious. Nate, any like a little putter thing or a basketball hoop over the wastebasket, any sort of novelties
I
like that?
I want to say in my peripheral.
Yeah, the hole-in-one thing.
I saw a little putter situation behind me.
Beanbag, chair.
Definitely have memorabilia up. You know, some really cool pictures and signatures. But I feel like he also has some art. I'm talking about, like, some Ocean's 11 art.
Oh, like Jackson Pollock's.
Like the real deal. You know what I mean?
Not
I
dogs like playing poker.
In the case where the TV was, there was, like, a Ron Burgundy rich mahogany shelf that probably had, like, some...
A bar?
Yeah, a bar.
That was my last question.
Any
is there, like, a...
I think so. I mean, there was no liquor that was visible, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was, like, some, like a scotch in one of those.
Like
you
a
call
Don Draper.
You need to strap a GoPro to Nate because you never know where it's going to end up.
I know.
That's
Nate,
just
let us in. It's like Wonka's
so
office
funny.
In the factory. I want to see what that room is like.
You know what's crazy is like Goodell's just asking questions casually. He's like, yeah, you know, so what do you do? You know, and we're asking Goodell, what do you work out? And Goodell's like, yeah, you know, I'll do a little something, you know, because he's a stout guy. He still works out. I'm like, weight room? He's like, a little bit of weight room. But mostly Pilates, you know. You should go to Pilates, Nate. I'm like, I'll go to Pilates with you. He's like, yeah, I'll do it at 7 in the morning right in Manhattan. I'm like, okay. He's like, what are you doing, Antonio? Antonio's like, I'll do a little Pilates. Chiropractor twice a week.
So you're saying
massage
is-
3 times a week. And also work with a gymnast. I'm like,
he does.
Damn, every week. No wonder this dude is dominating. And then he gets down. Then Antonio gets down and shows us what he does with his ankles. Like, he just did it impromptu. We didn't ask him. He's like, yeah, so, you know, you got to keep your ankles. Because he's like, Calvin Johnson had a lot of ankle problems. I was like, yeah, he had a ton of them. He's like, yeah, so this is what I do. He got down like he's doing a push-up. And he started twirling his ankles in and out. He's like, this is the type of stuff to keep your ankles from getting tight. You know what I'm talking about? I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So who does he
the whole conversation was
whose
just crazy.
Whose demeanor does he remind you of in the NFL?
Goodell?
No.
Oh, Antonio?
Antonio, because he's not like a Calvin. He's not that quiet.
No, not at all.
But he's not. But he's not.
But he's not Odell.
Julian Edelman-esque either, like or like really out there, like Odell.
And he's not loud off the field.
Not that Odell's out there. Like he's not like any of them.
If you saw Antonio Brown play, you would think he had a personality like Rod Tidwell, like comes in the room, the champ is here. That type. He's not.
Antonio? No, I feel like he's quite subdued.
Yes, he is, which is interesting because on the field,
is he like anybody?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I saw him in that fur jacket once. I kind of liken him to Broadway Joe. Like Broadway Joe, he would occasionally talk, but Broadway Joe was cocky. And if you meet Antonio, he's cocky, but he won't tell
you. He's confident,
right?
Yeah, super confident.
And like, but Broadway Joe though, when he played, he dominated off the field. I'm talking about endorsements, commercials. Yeah. Like Antonio's cleaning up. Like business is booming. So. He's a brand within itself. So to make a comparison, I think it's I think it's unfair to the brand he built. I think Antonio is just Antonio. Like he's created his own niche. Like he celebrates in a way where you think, is this guy showing his like is he overconfident? But he's not though. He's not.
I feel like meeting
one of the most humble guys I know.
Meeting him in person and then seeing what he does on the field, there's two so different things that every time I'm in the same vicinity as him, I'm like shocked by how calm he is.
It's pretty cool. Kay, would you rather? Would you rather? Impromptu, would you rather?
Oh, Jesus.
Rather have...
Relax.
That sounds like my son.
Calvin.
Antonio Brown's teeth or Cam Newton's teeth?
Oh, man.
Sophie's Choice.
Those are
bicuspid
two
Sophie's Choice.
Beautiful smiles.
Oh my goodness.
Antonio Brown. Although, oh man.
Oh man,
really
that's like
hard.
Choosing him over LeBron.
Cam's got great.
He's got a great smile.
Antonio's are just like sparkly.
They are. They're so white.
Cam's are great.
Antonio has that like
and Antonio's
dark
always,
chocolate skin. So they
so they're
pop.
Whiter. That's
they
exactly.
Oh,
right.
The contrast.
I couldn't
contrast.
Say it. You could. Okay.
It's okay.
I don't know.
Every woman loves dark chocolate.
I'm talking about guys' looks like that. Is what I'm saying.
100%. No, that's a good point. So the answer is.
The answer is Antonio Brown because he's always smiling. Like Cam
pouts sometimes.
He pouts.
Yeah, he does.
I can say that.
I've never seen Antonio pout.
So maybe if I had Antonio
Brown's
teeth,
shout out to Antonio.
I'd always be smiling and
I think Antonio figured it out.
It'd be a walking orbit commercial.
Right. I think he figured it out. To bring it all together, he knows how to show out on the field in a way where you might think he's all about himself, but he's so humble off it that it's the perfect blend of a professional.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great way to do it.
And that's our podcast, guys. Welcome to the offseason. We'll see you guys later this week. We've got Mike Mitchell on the show, Mike Garofalo on the show. Schrager is back Monday. There's an interesting things happening.
A lot of moving
next
parts
week.
Yeah,
next week.
There are.
We have a special guest joining us for the entire week on the show.
Kay's coming live from Iceland next week.
Yeah,
right?
I'll see you guys from the. I'll send you guys photos. Bye. We'll see you. Download us where?
At NFL.com/podcast. Also, go to Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher.
I'll see ya.
Deuces.